Yeah, thanks for being here again. If you're like my wife, who is sitting over here, round about now, she's wondering, what the heck is that? And then she's asking herself the question, does it take all that? She does. She's going to tell me later on, really? What the heck? Was that a mustache? What is that? What is that? Anyways, it's just to help me in a series I want to do and a point I want to make. So we're starting a series today on this concept of balance. How do you find balance in a chaotic world? How do you balance all your priorities? You've got to raise some kids. You got to love your spouse. You've got to take care of work and do extraordinarily well there. You've got to take kids to practice. You've got to come back home, and you've got to make dinner, and you've got to go to work, and it never ends. And you just ask and answer the question, well, hey, man, how do I balance all this stuff? At work, they want me to be, you know, the top salesperson at my company. I need to make sure it's going up and to the right, and I need to be super dad at the same time. How do I do all this and balance it all? And then you're talking about you need to spend time with Jesus. How do I do all this? It's real tough. How do I balance all of this? That's what I want to talk about. We're going to do a whole series on it in 3 weeks, and we're going to talk about this issue called balance. In order to help us get there, I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture for you. The first one's found in Psalm chapter 90. We're going to read verse 10, and then we're going to read verse 12. And then we're going to go to Solomon, and we're going to look at the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to look at chapter 3, and we're going to look at 8 verses there. And so if you don't mind, will you stand and let's see what the Lord has to say to us today on these very, very important issues. Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. I want you to read with me slowly, and I want you to be grateful for what you're going to read. Here we go. Read it, let me hear. As for the... they contain, or if due to strength, in other words, if you work out a little bit, maybe you get to 80. Just maybe you get to 80. But 70 is really what he promises you. But if you work out, eat right, do the Daniel fast, then you might get to 80 years. Here we go. Yet there, for soon as it is gone, and we fly away. So you're going to work hard, and you're going to focus on working hard, and then you're going to have some sorrow, and then before you know it, you're going to be gone. So what then is the counsel of the psalmist? Look at the next verse, verse number 12. You ought to asterisk with this verse. Most funerals, I preach this verse. Here we go. Read it with me. So teach us to... Don't move on. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to make sure we live in the present. Teach us to make sure we're not living so far in the future that we don't enjoy what we have today. Why? Because wise people do it. Read the Latin next phrase. That we may a heart of... The only way you can be wise is if you number your days. If you're always looking to, well, next year, well, next week, well, next, well, I hope the next season. If you're always doing that, then he says, then you're not going to have a heart of wisdom. The only way you have a heart of wisdom is that you enjoy today thinking that it might be your last and enjoy to the fullest. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The wise one tells us, read it with me, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under the sun. Before you go any further, he's not now giving you a prescription. He's giving you a description of what happens under human experience. He's not telling you, here is what you ought to do morally. He's just describing all the different experiences that human being has. Here we go. Let's read it. First of all, he says, here we go. Next verse. He says, a time to, and a time to. That's not everybody. Come on, whatever campus you're at, come on, as loudly as you can. A time to, and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to tear down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a... Stop right there, stop right there. This is just a parenthetical thought for those of you who live in Collin, Denton, and Dallas County. He says a time to throw away. Not a time to put in storage. A time to throw away. Don't touch nobody. Leave them alone. Sometimes you keep it something, but there's a time where it's healthy, hoarders, to throw some stuff away. Can I get a witness, somebody? Yeah, there's a time. There's a time. There's a time. All right, that's not the sermon. That's just a thought, an observation. Okay, here we go. Verse 7. A time to be and a time to speak. Verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time... Hold on, don't move yet. Remember, he's not telling you this is what you're supposed to do. He's just describing what human beings do. Make sense, everybody? Let's go to verse number 10. Next one. I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to accomplish themselves. Last verse says this. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to suggest to you that most people try to create this thing called balance. When you're going through all of life, you're trying to make sure you can balance all the different responsibilities you have. And if you have not noticed yet, oftentimes, this is huge, oftentimes the pursuit of balance becomes the burden that continues to frustrate you. The pursuit of this thing called, how do I keep it all together? How do I keep it all balanced? You add additional burden to your life because you're trying to pursue this ever elusive topic called balance. I want to suggest that the Bible is going to tell us that there is something else we ought to be pursuing, and it is not balance. You see, because we have a lot of we have a lot more responsibility than we do capacity. We have a lot of responsibility, but we don't have enough capacity. So the question you really should ask is, how do I increase my capacity, or how do I decrease my responsibilities? You see, because whenever you meet somebody that is balanced, they usually are mediocre. Because if you're going to be balanced and have everything all perfect, it's only going to happen for a short period of time, and then you're going to be imbalanced again. So the pursuit of that will frustrate you over time. I want to suggest that you abandon balance as your goal, and that you pursue instead people who are passionate, not people who are balanced. I want to suggest that you pursue passion, not balance. I want to suggest that you pursue, say with me, passion, not balance. It's going to make sense in a minute. You see, go to your notes and let me show you what happens to the person who lives this life that's so hurried. If you live a life where everything, give me more, 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 here's what happens to you over time. Number one, you begin to feel stressed. And so you begin to feel stressed out because you cannot balance the responsibility with your capacity. So now stress is increased. You have too many things that you can't get done, and now you increase your stress. Number two, I lose my joy. Now you're not joyful because people around you are dissatisfied because you're not living up to all the things and all the demands of your life. Number three, you become less productive because you can't keep up. Therefore, you become, and then the worst of them all, you cannot hear God. God's calling, and you're too busy. God's calling, and he can't get through to you because you're talking to everybody else, and you have set no time for him. I want you to watch Luke chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, and I want you to watch what Jesus does when things get hectic in his life. Here's what the text says. But the news about him was spreading even farther. The large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. Everybody is gathering around Jesus. Everybody wants to touch Jesus. Everybody wants to be around him. They're excited that he's here. They're excited that he can help them. And Jesus, watch the next verse, ladies and gentlemen. When that happens, here's what he did. But Jesus, when the crowds were coming all around him, give me more of Jesus. I want the business to go faster, further, faster. Let's go. Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Whoa, 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 Jesus, things are going good. This is your moment. Seize the moment. And Jesus was like, no, 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 no. I need to be alone, wilderness, and I need to pray. Well, why does Jesus slip away from the crowds when they want him the most and slip away and pray? Because he knows something that many of us don't know. Watch the next verse. The key is in the last phrase of the next verse. He slips away as he prays. He comes back. One day when he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Here we go. Read this phrase with me. And the power of the Lord was for him to perform healing. Here's what happens. He slips away. When he comes back, the people are still there. See, too many of you think, if I give up this opportunity to get alone with God, the opportunity might pass. But you thought you created the opportunity. God did. And since God created the opportunity, he can create another one whenever he wants. So that's why, well, Jesus, I know where the power source comes from. I need to go hang out with him, because wherever the Father is, there the power is. So people were still coming. Now Jesus had the power to take on and heal where they are. I wonder what's stopping you from going into your wilderness and hanging out with your God when things are going so well and you think, I can't stop now. It's going too well. I'm going to lose some stuff. I'm going to lose some money. And Jesus said, whoa, 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 whoa. Who do you think created the opportunity in the first place for you? If I can create it one time, I can create it again. The question is, can you sustain it without me? And the answer every single time is, no, you can't. So today, if we're going to fathom this issue called balance well, I want to tee up another word I want you to think about, and it's the word called rhythm. Rhythm. I don't want you to try and pursue a balanced life. I want you to live in the rhythm that God has you in. Because the more you live life according to the rhythm of life, the healthier you become. Everything in life has a rhythm. You know it. The sun rises and the sun, come on, the sun. Your heart beats on the rhythm. Everything about you goes based on a rhythm. Yet still, you and I think we don't need a rhythm. We just need to do all we can do in the moment to get the most out of it. I want to suggest today that you ought to live your life on a rhythm. And over the next 3 weeks, I'm gonna unpack this word called rhythm. The first thing I want to do today then is I want to help you understand this concept called rhythm. If you have a notes page, I want you to go there and I want you to look where it says two kinds of rhythms in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Two kinds of rhythms. When you look at each of the time, there's a time to do this, there's a time to do this, there's a time. There are two kinds of rhythms that emerge out of it. When you're using the word, there's first of all your life stage, that's a rhythm. And there's second of all your personal season, that's a rhythm. Your life stage. You were born, you're an infant, then you became a teenager, then you became a young adult, then you became an adult, then you became seasoned, and it goes all the way up. There's a rhythm to life, and you need to know what life stage am I in? Number two. When you talk about rhythm, oh, it's going to make sense. You're going to see. Number two, there is a season that you're in, a personal season. Let me explain. Your personal season is when you have to bury your friend. That's a season. Pregnancy, that's a season. Engagement, that's a season. Playoffs, that's a season. Marriage, that's a season. New home, that's a season. You move to a new city, that's a season. You get a divorce, that's a season. You get a job change, that's a season. You need to know the season that you're in, and you need to know the life stage that you're in. And here we go now. You need to live in the season and the rhythm you're in, and not in one that you want to be in. You need to live in the season. God says there's a time for everything.
You need to live, and I need to live, in the time he has for you right in front of you, and not in a season of your past or not in a season in your future that you want. You need to live in the season he has you right now. I promise you, this is going to help you. The reason many of you are stressed out is because you're living in a season that you have no business living in yet, and you want to be in a season that you have no business wanting to be in, because that's not the season God has for you. The reason some of you are stressed out is because you're looking back to a season and wanting to relive that season that you have no business doing it. God forgive you already for it. You just can't forgive yourself. So half the reason you're stressed out is because you want to live in a time that God has not yet called you to live in. Oh, you don't feel me yet, do you? Let me help you out. Let me walk down your alley just a little bit. Some of you are empty nesters still trying to parent your kids. Some of you, your kid's gone. But they're gone, but you're still trying to manipulate and tell them what to do. Here's why. Because when you were supposed to be parenting them, you weren't there. You were doing everything else except parenting them. Now you're stressed out. Why? Because you're trying to live in a season that has been passed. Oh, I've been waiting on this one. Here, I'm going to help you, though. Here we go. Then you got some parents, you got some of these parents who got some kids at home and living like you empty nesters. Oh yeah, Preach, pastor! You got some parents that have no business being on the road 24/7, but because you want to live like somebody else is living, you're going to let somebody else raise your kids, and you're going to say, well, at least they have money to do whatever they want, when what they want, keep your money, is you. Oh, you're preaching now, pastor. You're preaching. Tell it. Tell it to them, pastor. Here's why. Because you're supposed to be living in a season, but you're looking at your friends lusting after the rhythm they have instead of living in the one God's called you to. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to season a moment so I can illustrate it for you. There are some people that are in a season. You just lost a loved one. You're in the season of sorrow. You want to stay in that season. Quit trying to get out of the season of sorrow and mourning and stay there and allow the season to run its course before you try to get off of that season. That's the season you're in. You just got a divorce. Stay in that season. Mourn the loss. Quit trying to get back at them and mourn the season you're in. Let me talk about singles for a moment. Just a little while, then I'm going to go to marriage. Marriage, sit back for now, but I'm coming to you in a minute. You got some single people that they're in a season, singleness, but they don't like it, so they want another season. So they spend their whole lives on the internet trying to get somebody who will take them out of that season. They haven't talked to God about it, but they're talking to everybody and swiping like, not like, like, not like, like, not like, like, not like. Then there's some of you singles who you're in a season acting like you're in another one. You're in a season, but you're shacking, living with somebody else like you married, but you're single because he didn't put no ring on it. But you acting like you're married because it's cheaper to live together than to follow God's word. And by the way, I'm not preaching guilt on you. I'll marry you tomorrow. Go get you the papers. I'll marry you tomorrow and let you right the wrong. And I'm not preaching guilt on you. I just preach Bible on you. Let's marry. You want to live together? The state refers to you as common law marriage. Might as well we roll it on out. What you waiting for? No, we want the big wedding. You want the big wedding more than you want God's will. Because God says, marry her. You care about impressing your friends more than you care about marrying. Preach, pastor! What's wrong with you? Oh, whoa. Married people, come here. You wanted to be married. You got married, and now you're living single. Finances separate. Bedroom separate. Everything separate. You want to be married. You got married. Now you want to be single again. Live in the season God's called you to live in. Everything safe. Well, you know, I don't trust him. I don't trust. Well, then why you marry him? But all of a sudden now you want to be single again. You always want the season you're not in. No wonder you're stressed out. Because you always want something you don't have. Let me go back to singles for a moment. You done messed with the wrong pastor today. Woo! Here we go. So you have, God says when you're single, 1 Corinthians, you married to me. I want you to serve me. I want you to use this time to do everything you can and leverage your gifts, leverage your abilities for my kingdom and my glory. But yet still, you're unfaithful to God, but you want that same God to provide a mate for you. So you don't want to serve. I just gave you all a card. Hey, yes, sir, for Jesus. But I don't want to do that. That's going to inconvenience me. God says, this is the time you get to serve. Because once you get married, have a little bit of kiddies running around the place, you don't have no time to serve. You got time to take care of them kids. But you're missing the opportunity of the moment. And when you miss the opportunity of the moment, here's what happens to you. Now you're going to look back with regret. Which leads to my first point that I want to talk about today. Look at the sheet, and let's go through my first one. So everybody's been through the personal seasons and the life stage. That's what we're talking about, rhythms, at least in this section. Now I want you to look at, and then I'm done with you, the strategies for making the most of your rhythms. There are five of them, and I want you to look at the strategy. Don't put it up there yet. Leave it. Take it off. I'm not ready yet. The strategies for making the most of your rhythms. How do I do it? How do I do that? There are five things I want you to do if you're going to find you living according to God's season for you and you not being as stressed out as you are. Number one, if you're going to do it, you got to release inappropriate expectations. If you're going to live in the rhythm God's called you to, you got to release inappropriate expectations. Let me show you why many of you don't want to live in the season you're in. Here we go. Because you are still living based on guilt of the past. Let me help you out. So many of you, what's driving you today is the guilt of your past. So there's something that happened in the past, and God's forgiven you for it, but you haven't forgiven yourself for it. So therefore, you're trying to live out in the current and in the future something that happened in the past. So many of you still trying to look cute because some dude in the 11th grade told you weren't cute. See, they told you weren't cute, and ever since then, I'm going to work out every day. No, working out has become a god all because somebody else told you weren't cute. And instead of releasing that fool and believing what God has said about you, you still living for him instead of living for Jesus. This happens all the time. Many of you, you got a divorce. So because you got a divorce, your ex acting a plumb fool. And you want to show your ex that you got it going on. And you go make bad decisions. Because they got married. So, I'm going to get married too real quick. So that they know they don't have nothing over me because I'm going to get married real quick. And now you run into a relationship that you have no business going in all the time to get back at somebody who don't care about you no way. Release the inappropriate expectations you have and live in the moment. This is the time God has for you. Enjoy it and live in it. And don't seek another season until he brings it to you. This is so very important. Release them. Have you ever? Let me talk about preachers for a moment. Talk about preachers. Let me get off of y'all a little bit. Talk about preachers. Do you ever notice back in your mama's church how the preacher preached till he like 90? You ever notice that? Can I tell you why? Because they don't know how to end the season. No, don't laugh, don't laugh. It's for real. You don't know how to end the season. So here's what they're going to do. They're going to ruin the church, and they're going to ruin their family, and they're going to die in the pulpit Here's why. Because they don't know how to end a season and how to begin another season. Knucklehead, you end the season. Ain't nobody want to listen to you at 90 no more. You need to wait, and you need to be on the side, and you need to coach the next generation up, and you need to help them. But you got to end the season, and you got to start your mature season where you're now helping the next generation. But when they don't do that, I'm telling you, what happens is everything around them has to die before they realize it. And don't just laugh at them. Laugh at yourself, too, because we don't know how to end seasons. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you don't know how to end a season, now you're all stressed out because you're trying to keep up and minister to people that you can't relate to. You got to know how to end a season and begin one. When you lose your job and you still mad at them because they released you in a pro. Live in this. God is still sovereign. Live in the season he has called you to live in. Enjoy your time off before you start working again. He's going to provide another job for you, but just end this one well. By the way, listen. And learn how to end it well. Don't burn bridges. Learn how to end well. Okay, for whatever reason, they don't want you at their company no more. For whatever reason, you have to shut down your company. That's fine. Do not burn bridges while you are leaving. Why, Pastor? Because you might need them or their recommendation for your next season. So go find somebody else to talk bad about them when, confess your sins, go to your closet, and then come back and say, thank you for the opportunity you gave me. If you don't know how to end the season, you will ruin your own future because you don't know how to end it. This is huge, ladies and gentlemen. We got to learn. Don't stress yourself all because you don't know how to end the season. Let me go about a life stage again. You ever see a 60-year-old woman trying to be 30? I had to ask Jada for permission for this one. You ever see her? Sweetie, what you have on? You don't need to wear that. No, that's for 30-year-olds, not 60-year-olds. Come on now. You ever notice how you see the parent and then you can see the daughter? If you ever see what the daughter wearing, all you got to do is look at the parent. Because the parent's still trying to please somebody. And so they're still trying to be all fine, 6 to 5, 5. I don't have a problem with fine. Just be appropriate with your fineness. Fellas, I ain't leaving you out. I know you in the gym at 6 talking about, oh, yeah, I can still do it like I'm 35. I can still do it like I'm 35. I can still do it. Oh, yeah, I can still. Hey, calm down. Calm down. You can't do it like you're 35. You can't do nothing like you're 35. Fill in the blank. Nothing. Calm down. I don't care how much help you get. Leave that alone. Let's move on. It's a season. The season has passed. Praise God for the past season. Now live in the one you got. Can I get an amen, somebody? Release the inappropriate, unrealistic expectations so that you can live in your current season. Ooh, I could go there. Ooh. That's why if you're 60, you need to leave them 20-year-olds alone. Unrealistic expectations. Anyway, that's not my point. Come on back. Number two. I gotta go. Jada said she waited 10 minutes to get in here. So let's go. Jada said, I waited 10 minutes to go from Custer to this parking lot. She says, I'm going to another campus. This is crazy. So let's go. That's why I gotta go. Let's fast forward. Because somebody gonna turn around at the 12 o'clock service. Number two, you have to seize the opportunities. Watch this. This is so huge. Live in the present. Seize the opportunities of now. You remember Esther and Mordecai? Remember, Esther thought she was cute. And she, the Bible says she was, so she was cute. And said, yeah, I'm cute. I know. I got it going on. And And Uncle Mordecai had to say, hey, let me remind you something. You see all that cuteness? You thought it was just because you got it all like that. God had a reason to make you as cute as he did. Because he needed somebody on the inside when that knucklehead Naaman showed up, so that when he says he's going to plot to kill all the Jews, God had strategically put you in place so that at such a time as this, you can represent. So Mordecai says, hey, Esther, if you don't want to live in the moment, and if you want to live in the past or in the future, here's what God will do. He'll bypass you and use somebody else. Because you ain't going to stop God's plan. But if you are sensitive to God's plan, he'll use you to do great things. So Esther, I want you to seize the moment, and I want you to realize why God gave you the gifts, the abilities, the talents, the looks that he gave you, because it's for his agenda and not yours. Too many of y'all are missing God's purpose for you because you're thinking still it's all about you. And you're missing and you're not seizing the opportunity because of that. Somebody loses a loved one. That's the time to seize the opportunity. It's a season. Now you need to reminisce and get the stories of how God has used them to bless others. And now you need to chronicle it. And now you need to write it down so that the next generation can see that you come from a lineage of people who are impacting others. Don't try to run out of it and get over it quickly so you can go on to the next thing. You got to stay in that season, and you got to mourn that season, and you got to be grateful in that season, and it's got to take a while before you get out of it. Don't just rush back into the normal everyday life. You're in a season. Know the season you're in and appreciate it. Number three. What's number one, everybody? Release inappropriate. Number two, seize. Here's number three. Number three says this. I want you to anticipate what's next. I don't want you to live in what's next, but I want you to anticipate it. Ooh. You ever notice how high school students don't prepare for college? If you know that every 90% of college students go buck wild in college, then why don't you prepare and go ask some of them, hey, how do I not go buck wild in college? How do I survive when I got a little freedom and I don't really know what to do with it? How do you survive? Why aren't you preparing for the next season? Not living in there, but just asking the right questions of people who have gone there so that you can take advantage of the season and not make the same mistakes they've made. You ever notice how many people who, when they retire, they'll be like, ooh, I got freedom now. I'm not doing none but playing golf or playing bingo or playing something all day long. I'll be like, whoa. Are you kidding me? You got a season. You got to enjoy that season. How do you prepare for retirement? How do people who make significant strides for God handle retirement? It sure isn't just on a beach. Sure ain't. Anybody great that handles retirement well, they're always giving back to the next generation. Every time. Here's why. Because they know I made some mistakes that I don't want the next generation to make. So give me about 10 guys. Let me pour into them for the next 10 years so they don't make the mistakes I made. So at least I can help them navigate this season better than I did. Come on, man. It's not just it. You ever notice why couples get divorced right after the kids leave? You know why? Because they were living for their kids, not for their spouse. Because they love their kids more than they love their spouse, because they weren't ready for the marriage season, so they got a baby real quick. The baby occupied all their time until the baby left. When the baby left, then they said, who are you? I don't know you. Deuces, I'm out. Here's why. Because they weren't living in the present season. If you live in the present season and you're married, your spouse, you love your spouse more than you love your kid. And if you don't love your spouse more than you love your kid, then you fight to change that. Because if you don't, the moment them kids leave, you're done with them too. I'm telling you, you got to prepare for that season. How are we going to handle it when they leave? What are we going to do? We're just going to look up at each other all day long? What are we going to do when we come home? Or do we have a game plan? You better prepare for it. I asked couples, all the singles who are dating. Seriously, all the time I said, why don't you go to more marriage conferences when you're single? What do you think your next level is? If that's where God's taking you, then you need to prepare for it. And by the way, the more you prepare for it, the more you will respect the next season. See, many of y'all just trying to swipe to get somebody to give you some attention instead of preparing for how difficult that next season is and asking the questions, how do I navigate that next season well? And if you don't, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, what's going to happen to you when you get there is you're going to get there and say, what in the world is this? And you won't know how to take advantage of that season. So I'm asking you, not only do you need to make sure you're looking back and you're releasing the expectations. Number two, you need to seize the opportunity. Number three, you need to make sure you're anticipating that next season. Number four, here's what it says. You need to experience the power of trust, focus, and expectation. Let's talk about this for a moment. This is huge. Let's talk about this for a moment. Now, you cannot ever fully accomplish your rhythm unless you know what God's called you to do. I'm going to say that again. If you don't know your why, then when you're in your presence, you don't know what to do. So you got to know why God's called you, how he's wired you, what he's gifted you to do so you can walk in it. Because if you don't know what he's called you to do, when you're in the season that you're in, when you're in the life stage that you're in, you don't know how to pull it off. So you got to know your why. I don't have time to go through that. That's why you got to go get the series from last January when we didn't know your why, so you can figure out what your why is. But you got to know that. Here's why. So that when you're in a season that you didn't expect, you can trust your God, because it is your God that you're trusting. And when you get there, now you can focus on your why, and you can now expect God to do what he said he was going to do. But now you're focusing on your why. This is so huge. When you have kids, you need to be present. Listen, when you have kids, little kids, you can get another job. They can replace you anywhere. You're the only dad. Nobody else can get that title except you. Therefore, make sure you're present for them kids. You're the only mom. Therefore, make sure you're present for them kids. Adjust your schedule to make sure you're present for the... Oh, yeah, okay. You're going to make me go down this line. Let me go down there. You remember when your kids are wrong? Oh, can you read me a story and give me a kiss goodnight? You be like, I got too much to do. Hey, just get to your bed. Be careful. There's coming a day when they're not going to ask you no more. Live in the moment. Okay. You know when they Uber in you everywhere now? Hey, take me here. Hey. Live in the moment. Why, Pastor? Because when they get their own car, they don't want you in there. I'm a liar? When they get their own car, they want their friends in there. They don't want mommy and daddy in there. So you better enjoy the moment. At least I get them in the same car. Let me see how they're thinking now. Live in the moment. Do not. Please don't. I can't take you. Let somebody else take you. I can't take you. Let so-and-so pick you up and take you. Whoa. There's coming a day in about 2 years when they're going to get their own car. And they're going to look like you like, can somebody else take me? And then you're going to be mad. Because then you go, how dare you? I pay all the bills. I do. Whoa. You missed your season. You missed your season and you don't even know it. No, you want to be complaining that you pay all the bills. Well, maybe you shouldn't have paid enough bills and hang out with them enough. Preach, Pastor. Number five. Last one. Then you'll get to reap the harvest of peace, fulfillment, and hope. The reason you can is because Psalm 90 says, teach me to number my days. Why? So that I can do what God's called me to do in the day that he has given me. I'm not living into the future. I'm living into the present. So therefore, God, now I can have peace because I'm not looking to the future and living somebody else's life. I'm living the life he's called me to live. Now I can have fulfillment because I'm doing what he's called me to do. And now I can have hope because if he allows me to see tomorrow, I'm living in what he has called me to do. Turn the page over. Let's see if we can land this. Turn the page over. The three elements that make up your season. Number one is your biological age. Number two is your family relationships. Here we go, meaning the season of life that you're in. This is huge. Number three, multi-year phase. Watch this. You're moving to a new place, your changes that you make at work, and a healthy crisis. These are all things that help shape the season you're in. Here's all I'm asking you to do. Name the season you're in and live it to its fullest. Name the season you're in and live it to its fullest. You're going through a crisis, name the season. You're going through a time of harvest, name the season. You're going through whatever it is, name it and live it to its fullest. You're going through a life stage, name it, live it to its fullest. Let me see if I can help you out by closing with this illustration.
We tried everywhere to get our surfboard, but in Dallas, so ain't nowhere have no surfboard, okay? This is the best I could get. When I was in California, they taught me how to surf. I hated it because the water was too cold. In Jamaica, it's much warmer than it is in San Diego. So they taught me to surf. Can I show you what most people do? They try to find waves when the water is still. The water is like a glass. And you talking about, yeah, where my wave at? Where my wave at? Where my wave at? Whoa, 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 whoa. You miss your season. Ain't no waves in this season. Just enjoy being on the beach. Second problem people do. They go for the wave before the wave comes, which is why you crash. So if it's not your season, you ain't supposed to be on your board trying to get no wave. You're supposed to just be enjoying the season you're in, paddling on your board, waiting for the right wave to show up. Can you quit going after waves that don't have your name on it? Take the notes on the back of the page. Here's what it says. Here's what it says. Number one, you ought to ride the wave and glide into the beach. That's what God's calling you to, ride the wave. Number two, option B, if you don't do that, then you're going to crash and you're going to end up at the bottom of the ocean. And let me tell you something, if this board ever hits you while you're going down, oh, you stay hit. It's a good hit you get when you get hit. Here's why, because you're trying to anticipate and get stuff when it's not your season yet. What God's calling you to do is to wait till he sends the appropriate wave. Then you get on your board and then you ride the wave in the season that God has called you to. Can I get a witness, One Community Church? Come on, give it up for God. So, I'm going to pray for us, then I'm going to give you three instructions, and then we're done. Father, will you help us stop pursuing balance, and instead will you help us pursue the rhythm that we're in? Will you help us, God, not to pursue somebody else's rhythm? But help us to live in the present of the one you've given to us. Your word says, teach us to number our days. Help us to enjoy the blessings that you have given us and not lust after somebody else's blessing. Will you teach us to live stress-free lives because we're enjoying the season, the life stage that you have called us to? Will you teach us to end things well and begin things right? Will you teach One Community Church, this church, that? Will you teach us that, please? Because there is a time for everything under the sun, and you want us to live in the time that you have given to us. Teach us, God, please, to do that. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, in a moment, we're going to let you go by sections. And when we let you go, we want you, if you're here and you want somebody to pray with you, one of our pastors, you can come up and do that. If you want a couple to pray with you, we have a couple there. If you want a young adult to pray with you, we have a young adult here to pray with you. Whoever you want to pray with you, you can just come up. If you have a question about Jesus, who is the one that gives us the power to pull off anything that we do, then please don't hesitate. But while everybody else is filing out, you come on up and we'll stay as long as we need to spend some time with you. Men, we'll see you on Wednesday night. Dream Team, we'll see you on Thursday. And if you know any pastors, tell them to come on for the whole week. Thank you so much for being here. Look at the screens and only leave when your section is illuminated. Talk to the people in your row. Get to know them. God sovereignly placed them there. Thanks so much for being here. You're dismissed in sections. Take a look at the screens. Thanks, everybody.